You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
All right, welcome back to Hello Sport, motherfuckers. Home of unqualified opinion, unwavering bias. I'm joined today by my darling, sweet friend. He's a little dusty today. It's the day after the grand final. Eddie Simpson, how are you?
Tom, pleasure to be here. Little dusty, but the grand final was on last night, so I feel like I'm allowed to be.
Well, it's a long weekend as well, so I think you kind of, if ever
it's a long weekend in the great state of New South Wales, punters, dribblers, so, you know.
You had to let it rip.
Let live, you know?
My work doesn't seem to recognise public holidays.
Bullshit. So have you been at work today?
Mate, I had 3 hours sleep last night.
Oh!
I work in breakfast radio. I had to stay up to watch the game, obviously, and then I got up 3 hours later.
Oh, you poor bastard.
Yeah, mate. And then I had a 3 hour nap today. You know, when you go for a nap, you wake up 4 hours later, you're like, well, that wasn't a nap. That was just a short sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I basically napped for longer than my entire sleep last night, and it's fucked my body clock up completely. But mate, look, that's me getting personal.
It's by the by. I didn't know that. That's awful, man. Yeah. No wonder you wanted to cut our chat short last night.
Yeah. Well, that was it. A post-game chat.
Yeah.
But look, it was a glorious game of rugby league yesterday. I think that's sort of all we're really into talking about.
Footy.
It's footy grand final. We might touch on the AFL. It was a hell of a game. But, I mean, if you're wanting any in-depth sort of a Victorian-level sort of deep dive into the AFL grand final, you're not going to get it.
You're not going to get it.
You're not going to get a Victorian's perspective on this.
You'll get our take on it.
Yeah, you'll get a couple of...
But if you're looking for a big, big debrief, then carry on.
Carry on. Next podcast. Skip. And that's about it, really. So I think without further ado, Eddie, we just roll into what everyone's talking about, which is your game. It's my game. It's God's winter game, Eddie.
Yeah.
And that's the great game of rugby league.
That's the greatest game of all.
Okay, so two teams that no one gave a fuck about. We were sort of going in there wanting the Storm to win, Eddie. That was believing in dynasties. We thought dynasty was the best yarn for the season. Having watched the game last night, I came away with a thing of going like, yeah, look, I mean, I kind of wanted the Storm to win, but I also don't care at all. And I was happy with the outcome.
Yeah, I was happy with the outcome. It's funny you say that. I couldn't give a rat's ass whether Billy Slater went out a fucking champion or not.
I sort of
realised that halfway through the game. I was like, I don't care. I couldn't give a shit.
I think I tricked myself, or at least I forgot that I fucking hate Melbourne.
Yes.
And I fucking hate Queensland.
Yeah, look.
And that's a team full of both.
As soon as you see him out there, you get a bit of a fucking sour taste in your mouth, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all for champions and dynasties. I mean, just as much as the next bloke, Tom.
Absolutely.
I'm a big fan of that sort of stuff. But when you've been pained the way we've been pained by Billy and Cam over the years, over the decades, you're sort of left with, well, fuck you. I don't want you to win anymore.
No, fuck you guys. And
fuck you, blokes. You don't deserve shit.
And the narrative actually got way, like, my narrative interest shifted where it was like, well, actually, there is this old dynasty yarn, but I'm actually kind of now hearing, like, this Kronk. As soon as Kronk got cleared to play, I'm like, well, this is fucking interesting.
Very
This
interesting.
Is interesting. How the hell is this going to work? And not knowing what the extent of his injury was, because I'm not a fucking physio or a doctor of any note, Eddie.
And they never really told you anyway.
No.
I mean, it was all just bloody guesses, really.
Smoke and mirrors, clandestine, bloody, you know, backroom chats.
No one knew fucking what was up and what was down.
No.
But then, so he gets out there, you can tell he was busted as shit. He couldn't even lift his arm.
His left arm did not lift above. He made like four passes the whole game.
He touched the ball twice in the first half.
Yeah.
Then if it was four total, it was two in the second half.
Zero runs. He made more tackles, I think, than he did
Nine tackles, didn't miss one.
Which is the most impressive thing. There was this one, I think it was in the first half, maybe in the second half. Where they're on the line and Nelson Asofa Solomona, the biggest guy on the motherfucking field, has just charged at the line, and you can see Kronk doesn't have time to think about it. He's just launched into it with his bad shoulder, which we now know is a fractured scapula, punters, dribblers. Who knows what a scapula is, but it sounds painful. It sounds important.
That's scapula, gee, yeah. Painful and important.
It sounds very important to the structural integrity of the shoulder, Eddie.
Look, I wouldn't suggest doing your scapula and then launching bloody scapula first into a tackle.
Into a tackle.
No, thanks.
Some doctor I was reading today was saying the injury was akin to what you would see in a car crash.
Someone had 5 weeks off for it this season.
Yeah. They said 4 to 6
Reynolds,
weeks.
Maybe?
Josh Reynolds, maybe?
Yeah, might have been. Anyway, 5 weeks they had off, and he's out there playing in the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, and what's cool about it is because, like, he didn't do a whole lot, but in not doing a whole lot, he kind of did a whole lot. Like, they were sort of talking about, like, it was the best non-performance ever.
Well, they were saying made Luke Keary a fuckload better, you know what I mean? Well, like, he's good, he's had a good season, but that last night was the stuff of legend.
Yeah, that was some... It was the whole, like, the Keary performance and the Kronk performance was a real... It was legendary stuff.
Yeah.
That's, like, the real takeaway moment that everyone will talk about in that game. Like, it will be Kronk, because he played with a broken arm, but Keary just... Pulling out his dick and swinging it all around ANZ Stadium.
Playing 6 and 7, basically. And side to side, side to side. And then Kronk in the background. I went to the South Roosters game the weekend before and just seeing him in action. I just watched him for like 10 minutes, just him alone.
Yeah.
Just watching him bark at everyone. Last night, that went up again because he was basically an on-field coach.
That's all he could do.
Just barking at everyone.
And it was...
Unbelievable.
Were you able to listen to the commentary while you were watching it yesterday?
No, I was at the pub, so it was a bit...
So I was listening to the commentary and Freddie was just going... Like, everyone's... Like, because obviously everyone... Like, all those dudes are watching Kronk. Like, what the fuck is he... What's he doing here? Yeah. He's not doing much. And it was like... Freddie was like, mate, all he's doing is he's standing on the short side and as an option. So he's basically just like a... And again, we're getting into X's and O's here, but I'm repeating other people rather than giving my opinion.
Yeah.
They're saying you stand on the short side as an option and basically, you know, they're never going to go to him unless the Storm really hold off. So it's just literally like it's always going to Keary unless they're being super lax and then they'll go to Kronk.
Yeah.
And then when Keary's kicking, every single time Keary or anyone kicks, Kronk would just stand as a blocker. For every kick, he'd go and protect the kicker the whole game. That was what he did, and then just hung out on the short side for attacking raids,
and then just barked mad.
And what I also like about it and how it worked is, it wasn't just a player rising to the occasion or a player like playing tough. It was like a coaching masterstroke as well.
Well, that's what it was. It was an on-field coach.
No, but I'm saying Trent Robinson going, you know,
oh,
what?
Yes.
This is how we're going to do it.
But also it shows, I think, his quality just to be on the field, just to be present.
Oh, God,
so they're like, mate, you'll touch the ball 4 times the game, make 9 tackles, which was huge, but you're not going to see any football.
No.
But you are worth more on the field than off it.
Than off it.
You don't even need to touch the footy, and you're better off on the field.
You just need to be pushing us around, telling us what to go, reminding people what to do.
Yeah, like, you don't even have to play.
No.
Just stand on the field
there,
and
put a jersey on.
People.
We're basically playing with one less player. Just don't miss tackles. Yeah. That's the only thing we ask
of
you.
That's all.
You just got to aim up in D. And,
extraordinary.
Even the way that Trent Robinson mastered the whole thing where he's gone, as soon as they found out it was a broken scapula, again, do your own research, punters, dribblers. We aren't quite sure. It's in the shoulder region, though. We can tell
it's up and about in that area.
It's up in the shoulder region. But as soon as they found that out, they were like, all right, what? They like intentionally go, well, let's just tell the media and the people it's a rotator cuff injury because then you have varying degrees of injury. So it can be minor, middle, or fucking super fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with a broken scapula, it's a broken scapula. You'll either play or you won't play. So again, it was just all
to fuck
this
with people because no one knew.
No, it was
no
a fucking job.
Until an hour
quiet.
Before the game.
Yeah.
Not a soul knew.
No, and then not until after the game did anyone know it was a broken scapula.
And do you reckon they knew that he was going to play the moment they got the diagnosis?
No, dude. Apparently he pulled out on Friday. He called Robbo and goes, mate, I can't do it. Can't do it. And then he went and got some more physio and some more work, and he's like, I'm back. And then they're like, fuck, okay, you're back in.
Really?
Yeah, and then even on game day, he got past medically fit and still wasn't 100% locked. And they were like, let's just pull the trigger.
Apparently it was 30%, basically.
Yeah, mate, he couldn't lift it up. Like, you saw the whole game.
30%, I thought, was generous.
Yeah, right?
Because, like, 30%.
You couldn't pass it. You couldn't lift it up.
You can't use your arm, bruh.
Yeah, no, you don't have an arm, bruh.
Like, 30 seems very generous.
Very generous.
Very generous. But, I mean, well done to Cooper.
Well done to Cooper. Hell of a famous performance.
Famous performance. Humble at the end of the game.
Very humble.
Avoided Smith.
Well, didn't mention Smith.
No, but apparently he avoided him on the field.
That was, so, they didn't shake.
So didn't shake at all. They saw... Cooper apparently saw him coming towards him and changed direction. Or, like,
really?
Saw he was coming up, changed direction. I read that as a tweet from someone that was at the game.
Man, that's some
salt. And they didn't say a word to each other.
Well, mate,
so if anyone's questioning, oh, is there a rift or isn't there?
There's a fucking rift. Dude, Smith,
this is Grand Canyon stuff.
Yeah, this is some big shit. Cam Smith in his, like, post, in his, like, losers captain acceptance speech. Not that he had to here, but he went into, like, thanks to the Roosters, saying congratulations, Trent, and to Boyd, no mention of Kronk. Again, not that he had to there, because that's mainly just captain coach stuff, but then Kronk was getting interviewed by Joey afterwards.
Yeah, this was bigger.
And this is where he's going.
This is bigger.
This is where he's going, like, oh, and I just want to thank, you know, special shout out to, like, to Ryan Hoffman and Billy Slater, like, two people that really influenced my career at the Storm and really appreciate it. And you're just like, holy shit, bro.
Yeah.
That's as obvious as you like.
Thanked Melbourne. Thanked mates and who've made him a better person and a better footballer.
What's he done?
Billy Slater and Ryan Hoffman. No mention of Cameron Smith. Are you fucking kidding me? Is it because he's missed his wedding?
Maybe.
Can you be that furious?
Maybe you could be. Or maybe Cam. Because a lot of it was like Cam was just a fucker to him once he decided to leave.
Really? So he's just fucking...
It could just be Cam was being a prick and then Cooper was like, fuck you. Like, I mean, who knows, dude? It'll come out at some point.
Oh, it'll come out.
You know what? It'll probably be less cool than what you want it to be. So, I mean, I think right now it's probably best to speculate as much as possible on the topic.
Oh, let's speculate, baby. But that's probably it. He probably was so fucking salty that he was going and leaving and going to the Roosters.
And then dogged his wedding.
And then it's probably just been back and forth bullshit ever since. Do you know what I mean?
And probably from two super competitive people. Like, let's be honest, I think really competitive people can probably be quite petty as well. You know what I mean?
I think it could be pretty petty.
Cunts don't like to lose, and even if it's not an actual game sense, but, you know, like, Cam's upset because he loses Kronk for competitive reasons, so he's cut, and then Kronk's like, well, you're an asshole. I'm just chasing my dreams. Now you're going to dog my wedding?
Yeah.
Not a sporting thing, but he's competitive. He wants his mate to be at the wedding. Now he feels like he's lost something because this guy isn't at his wedding. So now, you know, they're not shaking hands. Who can get the one up? Who can leave who out of speeches?
Yeah, petty.
It's petty competitive stuff.
Unless there's a little more sauce.
Unless there's some sauce, which we've heard some sauce.
Well, we've heard sauce.
I think a lot of rugby league fans have heard some sauce.
Oh, man. You know the rich sauce we're talking about.
You know the rich source with which we speak, but, you know, the source is also a little grubby, and you can't speculate. That's a bridge too far in terms of speculation.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're just going to let it hang there.
We can speculate amongst ourselves off mic.
Yeah, we're just going to let that hang there, though. Mm. Maybe that rich sauce has got something to do with this broth.
Maybe it does. Maybe someone's just bringing that sauce to the boil. Maybe it's for a different dish.
Who knows? Could be, though.
It could be.
That sauce could be in this dish.
That could be in this dish.
But it also may not be.
It might be a completely different dish. Now, if you are sitting at home listening to this going, what the fuck are they talking about? Just go ask one of your friends who's maybe a little more rugby league knowledgeable.
Yeah.
More knowledgeable in the game rugby league than
more
you.
More literate?
More literate. More rugby league literate. And just go, hey, any rumours surrounding Cam Smith that you can tell me?
Yeah. Is it been up to anything? Around the World Cup?
Are there any rumours about Cam Smith that I haven't heard?
Did anything happen in Townsville? Just say that.
Or even just in general.
Or just in general.
Because you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is there any... Just give me some Cam Smith rumours.
Yeah, yeah. Just general ones.
Rumours, but...
Rumours and...
Innuendo.
A little bit of innuendo.
Salacious gossip sauce.
So, look, I mean, I think... It was a little disappointing, though, that they didn't shake hands.
Yeah.
It's like Billy and him had a beautiful hug.
Oh, wonderful.
It was a warming moment.
It was a lovely embrace.
A lovely embrace. I think that was a little disappointing. I think I got the vibe off Cooper during his speech that he almost felt a little guilty.
Well, I think he just... Yeah, I can understand
Was he just sort of the guy that...
No, I can understand
that. Oh, that's just his demeanour.
No, but I can understand that. That's you, like, because, I mean, let's be honest, he will always identify as a Melbourne player, you would assume, right?
Yes.
To a degree. Obviously, you can't fucking play 15 years at the Storm, win all these prams, and then...
Well, he's won five now.
Five. So he's won off equaling the record if he goes around again.
Oh, my God.
And he's the first player for, like, 50 years to go back-to-back.
Is he 5-3? Was he,
yes,
in, was he there in 06?
Yeah,
was.
5-3. It's an incredible grand final record.
Yeah.
And he's gone back-to-back with two different clubs.
Do you reckon he just sort of flashed Cam a little five?
Quite possibly. Well, not talking, I just like went to shake his hand and then just held up five.
Just held up five, like had his rings on.
Well, actually, so this brings...
All five of them and
this
just
brings
off.
Into something I wanted to talk about in terms of premiership rings. And this is sort of just like a public service announcement for all the Roosters players. Obviously, someone like Cooper, he only has a certain amount of fingers, right? Yeah. With which he can wear rings. So, like, he's got five. It takes up a hand. But many of you Roosters boys have just got your first ring. And I just would like to ask that you don't wear them on anything but your pinky and your ring finger. If you're wearing your premiership ring on your pointer finger, I'm going to have to take it off you. It just looks ridiculous. I don't understand how you even think of it and go, oh, let's put it there on my pointer finger. You may as well wear it in your thumb. You know what I mean?
Well, I was about to say, have we seen any thumbmen?
If you wear your rings on your middle finger, I think pointer finger's the worst. Thumb's the worst, but I don't think anyone does.
No, thumb is by far the worst.
Thumb's the worst.
But you've got to be a bit of a sick fuck to put it on your thumb.
To put it on your thumb, I would think so.
Don't you?
I would think so. So thumb, if you're going to get stripped of your ring if you wear it on your thumb, middle finger, pointer finger, in that order as well, into descending order in terms of grossness.
Yeah.
It's so got to be pinky or ring.
It's got to be the back half of the hand.
It's those back two, baby. Pinky or your ring finger. Even Kronk should honestly have three on one hand, two on the other.
Oh, but there'd be something nice
about having one bling.
Do you know what I mean?
Hand.
I'm talking about when he wakes up in the morning, probably today, puts his robe on, probably puts them all on one hand.
And then do you reckon he has like a five ring
rub?
Yeah.
Possibly. But maybe he just goes out and collects the newspaper just with five on and just sort of flashes
Well, because his other hand's fucked as well.
Yeah,
so you may as well
it's
just,
in the brace. And
you
he's
do
just,
everything with this good hand. Shake hands with it.
Well, you absolutely shake hands with it. And you go, oh, sorry about my rings.
Sorry about my fingers. They're just fucking, my hand is an extra few kilos heavier because I'm adorned with rings. And I tell you, that performance raises Kronk's level.
Oh, yeah.
As like where he's standing in the game.
Well,
that
you know what
it does?
You know what it does is the Roosters have had fucking stud sides for a couple of years now. Five, probably. Stud sides.
Well, fucking four minor prems in the last 6 years.
Yeah. And now they've got another premiership. But it just goes to show if you get that elite half, like a Kronk.
Yes.
You prems are...
Prem de la Prem.
You can prem up.
Yeah.
You
and
know
look,
what I mean?
And this is no knock on Mitch, but I just don't know whether you would have seen Mitch pull in a performance like that. Well, I mean, look, let's be honest, Kronk didn't do anything in that game, but Mitch isn't the sort of man to lead and coach a team out on the field. Mitch probably wouldn't have played. But even Mitch probably, I've never seen Mitch play like Keary played in that game.
Oh, Keary was fucked up.
Keary was fucked up.
And if you, like, Kronk, being an on-field coach last night, would have absolutely elevated his game, surely.
100%. But also they were saying, Keary, like Trent Robinson again, after the game, said as soon as they found out Kronk was injured last week, Keary was walking around training going, I don't give a fuck if he's playing or not. This is how I'm going to play. This is how we're going to win. Like straight away to the point where Robbo was like, I thought I was going to have to go tell him to pull his head in because he was just so adamant, like, fuck it. He's not being like throwing shade at Cooper. He's just going, fuck it. We can't.
Just
if he's not
confident.
Playing, if he's not playing, fuck it. This is how I'm going to win the game. This is the way I'm going to play. Is what we're going to do. And essentially, that's just how he did it. And Kronk was even like, "Yeah, you know, I read in the media that Luke had come out and said he didn't care how he didn't care whether I was playing or not." And you know, a little bit harsh, but I actually, but you know, like he's having a laugh
because he wasn't there, obviously.
Yeah,
he was off getting
off
physio,
just getting physio
out
the arsehole. But I just thought that was cool. Good to see Luttrell absolutely bitch Chambers
again. I was just about to say, at the start of the game, I was sort of into that narrative that we've just discussed about Cameron Smith and Billy Slater going back to back. But then as I watched the game, I started to turn my attention to a young throbber in Latrell Mitchell, a young New South Welshman.
Is a pin-up poster boy for elite emerging young throbbers in the game of rugby.
Yeah, I mean, he's about as elite as you're going to get in terms of young throbbers, Tom.
Yes.
And just seeing him bitch Chambers again, he's got his fucking number now.
Got his measure. Chambers is his bunny.
Like,
man.
Chambers, it's almost time to retire, bro.
Chambers has just missed out. He's lost his Australian spot.
Yeah, well, you know,
it had to happen.
See you, bruh.
Yeah, sorry, bruh. It's not like GI's going to lose his spot, bruh. GI's skip of the nation.
He's skipped now, champ. So
sorry, Chambers. You're out.
Bedtime for you, mate.
Yeah.
Bedtime for you.
Much but, like Origin.
But I just will. I can't tell you how in and around Latrell I am.
Trell.
I'm a huge Trell fan.
Huge Trell fan. You know, Trell would be great to get on the podcast.
Love to get Trell on the potty. If you're out there, Trell.
Trell, if you're out there, mate, reach out. I realise you're probably bending right now. Look, we may even, hook up with a couple of the Roosters boys later.
Mate.
Couple of beers. Look, we've been in text, you know, just chatting a couple.
We've been talking.
But Trell, love for you to come on. Whenever you're ready, mate. You're a young throbber, elite young throbber. We might even get Crichton to get you if we get Crichton. That'd be nice. That'd be a nice touch.
I think that'd be a beautiful touch. They know each other.
They played for the state.
So we're back to
him bitching Chambers, which he did. Mm. That try he scored.
When he gets horizontal.
Yeah, where he steps Chambers, almost seems like he's so in Chambers' head that he was able to just, it wasn't like the step was out of this world Ponga vision, you know what I mean? It was just like a solid step. He's thrown him off.
It was your regulation off the left.
It was kind of like, it was actually, as much as it was great from Trell, which it was particularly piss weak from Chambers.
But that's the effect he's
that's
got
That's the
on
effect
him now.
That Trell has on
you
him,
know
yes.
What I mean?
And then Trell drags him over the sideline a little later and throws him into the fucking, into the barriers and starts G-ing him up. And you're like, mate,
yes.
Trell has just got you, Chambers. He's got
fucking
you.
Love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it.
He's got you.
All goes back to Freddie, apparently, in Blues camp, being like, don't take his shit, mate.
Yeah, just go.
He's a beater.
Yeah, go after him.
Like, go after him. Fucking give it to him. Boyd Cordner, hell of a year.
Hell of a year. First New South Wales captain to win Origin and the premiership since Steve Mortimer.
Really?
Yep. So there's a little bit of trivia for you, punters, dribblers. Drop that one if you're trying to impress your sporting mates and you're a bit of a beater around the office.
Yeah, but say it with a bit of confidence.
Oh, you've got
it.
You've got to deliver it with confidence.
Don't get the names wrong.
Don't say you heard it on a podcast. I mean, unless you want to credit the podcast, of course, but just sort of say it with some, oh, mate, are you kidding me? You know, Boydie killed it. He's actually the first captain of New South Wales to then go on to win the premiership. Like,
just go, I'm pretty sure.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, like almost as if you're doing it off recall.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
You want people to think that you have this incredible rugby league recall.
Yeah, that's it. Elite rugby league knowledge as you get from Hello Sport.
As you stand at the water cooler tomorrow, beta, punter and dribbler, whoever you are, whatever beta, punter, dribbler you are. Drop it at the water coolers and just let us know how it went.
Yeah, just tell us
how was it received.
Give us some feedback. It'd be good to know about your delivery, timing, conviction, and then obviously the response from whoever you've told it to.
And if it didn't come off too well,
self-evaluation, why not?
We might be able to help you.
What happened? What went wrong? But there's a stat for you. I don't know if I got too much else.
I think just to fucking bow it.
Yep.
I think it shows how fucking hard it is, nigh impossible in these current salary cap days to go back to back.
Yep.
Dunno if they had a better shot. There couldn't have been a better shot than
I don't
last
think there's
time.
Been a better shot since that time. I guess you could say there has been a couple because they've been in fucking multiple back-to-back grand finals and so the Roosters. But it seemed like the most likely of any time in recent memory where I thought, okay, there's going to be a back-to-back here.
I was convinced.
Yeah, I thought it was, mate, I think most people were like, it's a fucking shoo-in. Shout out to Ed Liston as well, friend of ours, Roosters fan. I'm prepared to give him a shout out here. He's from the country and he says he's a Roosters fan, but I'm prepared
he's
to.
From Glen Innes.
He's from Glen Innes,
so you know
right?
what I mean.
So like, if you want to Google where that is and then try and work out the sort of how he's become a Roosters fan. Probably, I think the first time I heard him talk about the Roosters was 2013, so I don't know whether it's necessarily been
I think it was deep into September in 2013.
In 2013.
I would even say the last weekend in September.
I think it might have been last weekend in September 2013.
When the Roosters scored and they took the lead.
That's it. He'd just been given a voucher to Rebel Sports and they were all out of jerseys. He just picked one up randomly. In fact, I think it may have even been bought for him. It happened to be a Roosters one. It was the second half, and he decided to go for the Roosters. That's the first time I heard of it. But fair play to him. He's been a fan since then through all of their minor premierships and purchasing of top-line players. And now they're purchased premiership in 2018.
Well, he's reached the promised land.
He's reached the promised land. He's out at the game. I'm sure he's very excited. Congratulations, Ed. Let's hope for many more years of continued purchase-based success. But no, back-to-back just seems like it's fucking impossible. And I'm kind of down with that. I'm cool. I was also...
I'm fucking cool with it. And when someone does it, and they will eventually, it's going to be extra sick.
Yeah.
Do you know
well,
what I mean?
It's, the
just because you'll be able to look back and go, well, they couldn't do it. Well, they couldn't do it. Well, they
no
couldn't
one's
do,
able
it.
To do,
well,
it.
They
no couldn't do it. And look, it was...
I hope the Chooks don't do it next year with the well, port side that, as they fucking drop Angus Crichton
as
into
they
the
bring
mix
in Angus
as well.
Crichton,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's on 800, apparently.
Oh,
and then Cooper's
everything.
On a million plus. Kiri be on fucking, what, eight?
Seven.
Tedesco's
eight.
On nine, I think. What's fucking... What's Boyd Cordner on? What's Jake Friend on? What's Dylan Napper on? I mean, they are so fucking far over the salary cap, it's not even fucking funny. It's
Jabari Hargrave.
It's actually sickening. Trell Mitchell. Fucking.
Daniel Tupou.
Oh my God.
Joseph Manu, who's a throbber.
Oh, he's a fucking throbber.
Joey Manu's a
Blake
throbber.
Blake Ferguson.
No,
mate.
He's gone. Blake's gone to para.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there, he's a bit of pressure there.
Yeah, well, I guess. He's a gun, Blake, as well. But look, look, obviously, wildly cheating the salary cap. That's to be expected.
Always saying he's wildly cheating, but like everyone cheats.
But everyone
so
cheats.
Whatever.
As Brett Finch said to us last week or whenever we spoke to him. The great Brett Finch. Thanks again for coming on. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah. So I'm cool with it.
I'm cool with it. I'm just not
going
to...
I'm
going to acknowledge the Roosters are doing it the best.
I'm just saying that when you drop and, you know, if you drop an Angus Crichton next to you on that coin.
You've just won the premiership and now you're going to slide one of the elite throbbers of our game into your back row and Angus Crichton.
Mm.
One of the elite throbbers, Eddie.
And then Cronk comes back for another season.
Cronk could, he's still got a year to go on that contract.
Well, I think it was a year with an option for a second.
Yeah, look, he could easily retire. It wouldn't be a bad way to go out on that legendary note. But, I mean, fuck, you could also just go round again. You're already living over the East.
If he goes round again, he'll be second most capped ever.
Yes.
So, I mean, you sort of forget with Cooper what he's done.
He's creeping up. And
in terms of, like,
the
numbers.
But that game elevated him to another level, in my mind, of legendary status.
Yes.
Where it was like, that's actually, you've fucking done it all. You've won Origins, Grand Finals, World Cups. And you've always been playing with your Thurston, Smith, Slaters. And so all in that immortal chat, which, no, you're not in the immortal chat, but you are one of the greatest halfbacks.
Ever.
I think that's fair to say. You're one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
You're not in the immortal chat, but you're in the all-time great yarns, Cronk.
You're the rung below, mate. There's no shame in that.
No, you're a Hall of Famer.
Oh, fuck yeah, you're a Hall of Famer.
You're a Hall of Fame every day of the week, and you're at the top tier Hall of Fame. You're just not an immortal.
Sorry, bruh.
That's A. And I'm
sure he'd sleep pretty well.
I'm pretty sure
he'd all we're saying
well.
Is you know Joey Johns, you know Thurston. That's what we're saying.
We're just saying you're not in one of the 13 greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
That's all, but an elite throbber nonetheless.
Correct. So look, congratulations to the Roosters. I mean,
the Storm had nothing also, just quickly.
The Storm played the worst game of the season.
They had nothing.
Probably their worst game of the season.
Yeah.
And Billy Slater in the post-match interview was like, mate, we trained fucking well this week. Preparation could not have been more perfect. And
Roosters
they
just came out.
They got fucking mauled to death in
defense,
the first 20 minutes.
That first set of defensive set from the Roosters, I was like, oh, fuck.
Mate, and it just fucking rattled them and they never recovered.
No.
Rattled the shit out of them. Had no go forward at all.
It was good.
Loved it.
Loved it. Up the Chookies. Obviously hate the Chooks, though.
Hate the Chooks.
Hate the Storm.
I'm prepared to say well done.
Well, I'm absolutely prepared to say well done, but hate the Chooks, hate the Storm.
Yeah.
I think we can say that.
Shit clubs. Shit clubs.
Shit cunts. But great players. Not the players.
Oh, great players. Shit fans.
Shit fans. And
shit people.
Shit people in terms of, like, fans.
Shit club colours.
Shit club colours fans. Obviously,
logos, mascots.
But having said that, please reach out. Latrell Mitchell. Also, maybe a James Tedesco vibe.
Teddy, reach out. Latrell,
reach out.
Angus Crichton, if you're listening, obviously.
Obviously, reach out.
Joey Johns as well, if you're listening.
Joey Johns, if you're still around, please reach out. We have... Crichton did say he was coming on after the season, right? So we have then hit him up again on Graham. But he hasn't seen the message yet. So we'll keep you posted.
There's a chance he just doesn't open it.
But there's a chance he never opens it.
There's a hell of a chance.
There's a hell of a chance. Reach. Eddie, I'm really excited to talk to you about the Wallabies. Did you stay up till 1:30 at night to watch that one?
Of course.
Look, not much more to go here today, but I would like to hand out a VB as we do. I'm handing it out to some journalists today, Eddie.
Okay.
You'll be happy to know.
I don't know if happy is the right word.
No, you will. You will. You'll like this. They're friends of ours. We've been friends with these journos for a long time. Talking about Clancy and Errol from the Batuta Advocate, Eddie.
Oh, friends of ours.
Real good friends of ours, Clancy okay. and Errol.
Oh, that's different.
Well, they're respected Australian journalists, you know what I
mean?
Well,
that's different.
They're, you know, oldest newspaper in the country.
Oh, fantastic work.
You know, friends, just, they're an institution of the nation, Eddie. But I just wanted to give them a VB or a Batuta Bitter, I guess they're probably more inclined to have this week. But it's our show, so we'll give them a VB.
We're going to give them a VB because it's our fucking
show. It's our show.
I'm not giving them their own B.
No, of course not.
It has a word.
You don't give a man something he's already got.
And you don't hand out anything less than a frosty VB for man or performance of the week.
Performance of the week on Hello Sport.
Man of the match.
Now, hold on. But that being said, now, if the boys wanted to sponsor the podcast with Batuta Bitter, then obviously our allegiance has changed overnight.
Hey, look, we're pretty fickle.
We could change, and you know,
we flop on the win.
We were going for the Storm before this podcast, before the grand final. We were going for the Roosters by the end of it. Yeah. You know, just to give you a vibe of how fickle we are.
We're prepared to flop about. We're if flop, the price is wrong.
We're floppers for a price. But got to give the boys a VB this week because coming into Connor Khabib this weekend, boys wrote a wonderful article that got picked up by...
Remind the punter and the
dribbler. I will remind the punter and the dribbler. So, Conor McGregor's team bug local pub to hear what fan reckons will help him beat Khabib. So, very, very good journalism here. So, I'll just give you a bit of the article here. An unlikely tactic of Conor McGregor's team has emerged today after a small covert listening device was found under the table at Batuta's Imperial Hotel. The Advocate can confirm that head coach John Kavanagh has been planting bugs in pubs all across Batuta in the lead up to Conor's fight against Dagestanian Khabib Nurmagomedov. He's done this to bore into what he calls an untapped source of mixed martial arts expertise. Kavanagh was quoted as saying, so they've obviously spoken to Kavanagh already. Yeah. You've got to look for answers in unexpected places, and these groups of intoxicated men with no MMA experience whatsoever offer just that. So to get that sort of a scoop off the coach of Conor McGregor, who then I've seen on Twitter today, John Kavanagh's actually shared the article, Eddie.
Huge,
mate. Huge.
Well,
to be getting that.
It just goes to show how respected and revered the paper is.
That's it. So to Clancy and Errol, here's a VB for you boys.
Have a VB for some fine top shelf journalism.
That's it. And Eddie, do you and I have anything else to report this week, or are we done?
We're done. I just wanted to get your predictions on Conor Khabib.
Oh, yeah. We may as well. Before we go, look.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, you need to remove yourself, get the whip out, and punish yourself.
Punish yourself mercilessly.
For not knowing that the biggest fight in UFC history is coming up this weekend.
Conor versus Khabib. I've got Conor inside two rounds, similar to the Eddie Alvarez fight.
I see it being very much like the Eddie Alvarez fight.
Yeah.
I think Khabib gets overwhelmed, and I think Conor makes him look like a little fucking schoolgirl.
And this is obviously also what I want. As much as what?
No, but like I'm not gonna come on here and tell you something that I don't want to.
Well, but also, much to the article that the Batuta boys got, I wouldn't be surprised if John Kavanagh's got this room bugged because we know nothing about MMA.
Oh, he'd bug this fucking room.
He'd do well to bug this room.
I will say this about Khabib: Khabib has fought no one of merit. If you go under his
list of people he's fought,
yeah, his fight record. Thank you very much. You will not recognize a single name.
No.
Except maybe Illa Quinta.
Ally Quinta, the last guy.
The guy
he
fought for the title, and that went the distance, and he looked like a sloppy fucking...
He's fought a couple of guys, Edson Barboza, and I think Michael Johnson, I think his name is. But, again, he's fought no one who's fought for a title.
They're like top 30 contenders.
He's fought no one who's fought for a title.
No. He's fought bums.
Yeah.
Bums. And now he's fighting the big dog, the alpha.
Now, look, obviously, we'll be watching it this weekend, Eddie, but I've also got to let you know this. I have just entered into a month without alcohol.
Have you?
I'm doing Sober October.
Well, I'll be in Byron this Sunday.
Oh, no. What? That's controversial.
Yes, it is.
What are you doing this Sunday?
Just going up there for a little getaway.
Oh, is this you and your beautiful baby girl's anniversary?
Yeah.
Congratulations to you and Ella, the lovely Ella. Thank you, 8 years together. That's wonderful.
Thanks, man.
So, Punish Dribbles, if you feel like sliding into Eddie's DMs, giving him a congrats, at Eddie Simpson on Instagram, but also... if you want to catch up with Hello Sport, at Hello Sport Podcast on Instagram for all the latest shit, and that is at Eddie Simpson on Instagram to send him a congratulations on his 8-year anniversary to lovely Ella. All right.
Thanks, mate.
We're done.
Really, really warms the heart.
We're done, motherfuckers. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Hello again, Sydney. I'm Li Linqin. Remember, the train line between Epping and Chatswood is now closed, so it can be upgraded for the Sydney Metro Northwest. In the meantime, there's Station Link, a high-frequency bus service that takes you from station to station on 7 different routes. I know it's a big change, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. Plan your trip. Visit transportnsw.info.
Authorised by the New South Wales Government, Sydney.